Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like to thank Chris for his able reading of the lessons, and we will keep you in mind when we have a passage that is filled with hard to pronounce names. I also appreciate the exposition passages of sermon, because that relieves me of the burden of going into some of that. But I hope you listen to what Chris was reading and to the passage about that first Pentecost Sunday. And, you know, it's kind of wild when you think about it. There are these tongue-like things that appear over people's heads, like flames of fire. And imagine that over everybody's head here. Imagine that for a moment. And we in the church, particularly in clergy, have tried ways to make that come alive. And we've used little pieces of crepe paper sometimes. And the church that Rachel and I went to in Boston, Trinity Church, the associate rector arranged for a huge fan to be brought out before worship, and it was placed in the chancel area at the front of the sanctuary, and the fan was used to illustrate the blowing of the Holy Spirit and the wind of God. We're not going to do any of that today. We do have a fan. Thank you, Brian, for writing. We do have a fan. Holy Spirit is bringing some cool air to our sanctuary and providing us fresh air, which is good during coronavirus. But we're not going to spend any time talking about that today. Instead, I want you to think about how unusual that day was. We are not the first people in history who've been divided, who have looked askance at people who are not like us. In fact, this idea of people coming together has really resonated throughout the ages, and our own country adopted the idea of e pluribus unum, which you can find minted on your coins, out of many one. And here, we read about the Parthians and the Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Philia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. That's a representation of people coming from the four corners of the earth. All of these different people were united in the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. We talk a lot about unity in the church. Unity does not mean that we all have to believe the same thing. It does not mean that we all have to profess the same ideas. It does not mean we have to stop being who we are to conform with the majority. Unity means we focus on the thing that is important, and that is God and Jesus Christ. And we can worship God, and we can serve God, and engage in fellowship. And frankly, I don't know if this is going to get my license to preach revoked by the Minister's Guild, but I really don't believe that God is spending a lot of time worrying about whether we're Congregationalists or Presbyterians or Episcopalians or Catholics. God wants us to love Him. And God also wants us to love one another. And that is the gift of the church. The church, as I said before, is needed now more than it has ever been needed. We need places where people can come together. We need places where people can, yes, love one another. And I know in the church we can have our falling outs, and we can fight, and we can argue about this and that. But really, is that important? Is that why you come to church? I don't. Now, I know you could say, well, I'm at church because this is my job. But that's not why I'm here. I hope it's not why you're here. If you are here in church as a volunteer and you find the work you're doing for us to be a job, that's wrong. You should be doing the work you do here because you love the church. That doesn't mean you have to love the pastor. Maybe you love the choir. Maybe you love the architecture, the light streaming through the windows. But as we think about the church in 2022, as we come out of the pandemic, hopefully, we can be thinking about what the church should be like in the future. Not just this church, but the wider church. Think about that. The church, in some ways, is in need of another reformation. And I can't tell you what it looks like, and I'm not going to be nailing any theses to the front door of our building. But we need a church that speaks to us, that is able to receive our love and to pass the love of others on to us. So I'm going to share something with you that I normally would do during announcements. But one of our members, Dawn Troutman, essentially broke her ankle down in the Washington area, visiting family. And she's coming back up to the Upper Valley, and fortunately she doesn't have a huge set of steps to navigate getting into our house or in the house, but she does have some steps. And if anybody here has a ramp that they could lend on, that would be really, really appreciated. That's what the church does. It takes care of one another. It loves one another. And yes, it abides one another. Now, as we look at the church and we try to imagine what it can be, I think it's going to require some flexibility. And so next week we're going to be doing the baptism down by Storrs Hill. And Jack and Nat love that place. And there's nothing that says a baptism needs to take place in a sanctuary with a font. If you read about John the Baptist, he was baptizing people in a river. And there's a church that Rachel and I have gone to up in Maine on Islesboro, Second Baptist Church, and they do baptisms in Penobscot Bay. We're not going to get into the water, but that flexibility recognizes what is important. I do think tradition is important, and I do think that the teachings of the church are important, and we can't just say, oh, I've come up with something that no one has ever thought of in thousands of years. But that doesn't mean we can't try to reinterpret the actions we take, and it doesn't mean we can't try to be sensitive. So during the service later on, we're going to be celebrating communion, and hopefully you have all noticed that we have these new communion cups. As someone said to me this week in response to this, that's great, I can't wait until we can have real food, and I endorse that idea, but we're not at that point yet. But these cups you will find are much easier to open than the old ones. And the wafers, while not necessarily the tastiest that ever been made, are gluten-free. So everybody should be able to participate in communion. So I want to think a little bit more about this idea of what the church can be and how it can be something we can fall in love with again. I don't think that's a bad goal for us. The church should be a place that occupies affection and warmth and love. And this past week has been a tough week for me, as has for many of you, because Carolyn Bassett, a beloved member of our congregation, passed away last Monday. And had the opportunity to visit with Carolyn every day she was in the hospital. And she loved this place. And she loved all of you. And she talked about how some of you loved her. And that meant the world to her. So I'm going to step away from the lectern for a moment and see if my skull is properly put on. Okay, how's that? Okay, so that's for Carolyn, who's a member of our community. Even she's not with us, she is with us in spirit, and she loved to sing in the choir and to make the church beautiful. And I love that about Carolyn. And I love the things that each one of you do, because that's being part of a community. And yes, it's easy in some instances for us to ask, well, what's the community doing for me? What am I getting out of it? That's not what the church is about. Yes, my hope is that you gain fulfillment and meaning and you feel a sense of purpose. But the church is ultimately about giving to God and giving to God's people. So we're going to host a biking build in a few days. And I give thanks to those young people who are always so inspiring. And that's going to be an act of ministry on our part when we offer hospitality. They're going to stay here in our building. Yesterday we had the Upper Valley Music Center. I'm going to get the name of this wrong, so I want to say Gay and Play, and that's not the name of it.
Sing and Play.
Sing and Play, that's much better. They had part of the program here at the church, and it's great that they could come in and see that the garden beds had recently been worked on by Nicole and Caleb Mason. And John's done a lot of work for us on the building, and the way the building looks isn't just a matter of aesthetics. This is a way for us to welcome the community. It's important. So I know that we can get caught up in arguments about dogma and ideology and my way is the right way. But think about what Jesus had to work with, the disciples. And yes, we can talk about how Peter and the others were a bunch of maladroit cut-ups. But frankly, we're no better than they were. Jesus entrusted the building of the church to Peter. And despite the fact that the church has had its problems over the years, Peter did a pretty good job. And we are continuing that tradition of building the church. So I had originally titled my sermon for this morning, The Winds of Change, and some of you may remember back when Harold Macmillan was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, that phrase was used to describe what was going on in Great Britain at the time. So his time to Downing Street was a time of great change in Britain, and there was a lot of economic development, and people talked about the winds of change and how they blew through Africa, which was beginning to go through the process of decolonization. Something new emerged from that. Something that people couldn't have imagined. And in some ways, it was glorious. And in some ways, it's troubled. And that's the world we live in today. We are always changing. As much as we may want to hold on to the past, we are changing. God is with us. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete. And para, you may know from Greek, means with. God is with us, Emmanuel. And God doesn't care whether we're from Parthia, or Elam, or Mesopotamia, or Pennsylvania, or Slovakia, or California, or New Hampshire. God loves us. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to grow and thrive in faith and love. My hope is that this Pentecost will be a new beginning for us. And as we work together as a church, we can prod one another. And we can say, hey, you might want to do something differently. But my hope is that we do it with a spirit of love and respect. And affection. So again, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Thank you to each and every one of you for all you have done for us, whether leading us on a hike, doing important work on the building, providing spiritual care to members of our congregation, working on matters of governance, and the list goes on. Thank you to each and every one of you. And as trite as this might sound, happy birthday to the church. Now we continue with a prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the church. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.